The Origin of Love by How Old Are We? Read by Daisy Diversions. Author's Notes. I could hear by your expression that the pain down in your soul was the same as the one down in mine. That's the pain that cuts a straight line down through the heart. We call it love. Patrick laid on their side in the grass, his head propped on his hand, enjoying the smell of the earth and flowers toasting in the sun. He reached his left hand back over their hip to find David's right hand reaching back for him. They wound their fingers together, Patrick's thumb stroking over the smooth, warm metal of his rings, and the soft pads and creases of their warm skin. He sighed happily and stretched his left foot back between David's, interlocking their legs to match their fingers. He tilted his head back and felt the familiar pressure of David's head gently nudging him back. Watch the hair, Patrick. You know it makes my whole head shape look wrong when you mess it up the back. Patrick laughed softly and used his own head to stroke downwards against David's hair, fixing it back in place. Unsatisfied with that, David dropped Patrick's hand to fix his hair himself, giving Patrick's head a few perfunctory, soothing pats in the process. Don't forget, we need a goat to sacrifice tonight, Patrick said, glimpsing a herd grazing on the hill in the distance. Ugh, I know. I'm so tired of the whole burnt offering thing, though, aren't you? Patrick could feel David starting to gesture with his hands, even if he couldn't see them. There's the smell, which, you know, I normally love a good barbecue, but after all the blood and butchery, it loses its appeal. Plus, I've just never been a big fan of goat. Give me a nice ox or chicken if we're roasting meat. We could switch to ox if you want. Patrick smiled, knowing that wasn't the point. That's not the point. And how could we afford that anyway? If we sacrifice an ox this time, they're going to start expecting it every time. You know how they are. They're insatiable. And how did burnt meat even become an acceptable way to communicate gratitude or devotion or whatnot? Gods are supposed to eat ambrosia, whatever that is. And if they did one day develop a hankering for charred ungulates, they're gods. Zeus could just hit a whole herd with a lightning bolt and save all of us the trouble. Patrick rubbed soothing circles into their hip, grateful once again that David couldn't see the amusement on his face. I think it's about us sacrificing something than their need for sustenance. But you're right, it does get tedious. He traced his fingers back and forth across the skin that marked the border where their joined bodies became separate territory. There was no line of demarcation on the smooth skin of their torso and hip, just a transition zone of skin where sensation gradually faded as his hand moved further onto David, and then returned as he moved his fingers back towards his own side. He knew it calmed David, as it calmed himself, to feel the touch gently recede and return as his hands swept back and forth across the limited area he could reach by stretching his arm backwards. Not entirely placated by Patrick's touch, David continued, "I don't appreciate the condescending treatment, though. To ask us to give up valuable animals they don't even want just to establish dominance? What kind of fragile-egoed bully gods would demand that kind of pointless, wasteful demonstration?" David sighed and reached back to find Patrick's hand again. "What do you think would happen if we just stopped?" "David, come on. You know what would happen. Remember when Zeus got angry at the whales and cut their legs off and threw them into the sea?" David huffed. "That was years ago. And besides, I was talking to a whale the other day at the beach who said that they're much happier now anyway. Easier fishing, and it's quieter down there." "Yes, I was with you," Patrick replied. "But just last month, Apollo blotted out the sun in the middle of the day, which also happens to be the whole reason we're sacrificing today, to thank him for bringing it back. That seems worth a goat or two to me." "That reminds me," David exclaimed, pushing them both up to sit so that he could talk with both his hands more easily. "I was reading this theory the other day about that. It was basically saying that Apollo didn't darken the sun to punish us at all, like everyone says. It was really just the moon passing between the sun and the earth. You know what that means, right? There was never even any real danger of eternal darkness." "Why would Selene cause the moon to come between the sun and the earth, though? And even if you're right, that doesn't mean Apollo couldn't decide to darken the earth if he wanted to. There's no reason to risk that kind of retribution, David." "But that's just it. I don't think we'd be risking that at all." David lowered his voice and turned his head towards Patrick. "I think the gods have been exaggerating their powers to scare us into submission, and to keep extolling meat from us, of course."
"I suppose it's possible," Patrick allows carefully. He didn't think he agreed, but it was always hard to resist David's sway. Though their heads and thoughts were their own, sharing a body meant that David's feelings, the way that he expressed his emotions physically, always seeped into Patrick's own. And once whatever David was feeling had rolled like a wave through Patrick's chest, up his neck and into his brain, he couldn't help but see David's point with total empathy. And right now, he was excited and scared. Patrick slowed his breathing and heart rate, shifting his mind back to calm rationality, and visualized a wave of calm rolling back through his body and into David's. "Maybe we should hedge our bets tonight and stick to the goat plan, and then tomorrow we can get to the bottom of this faith crisis." "Sure, I'll humor you tonight, Patrick, but this is the opposite of a crisis, more like an awakening."
Well, this is certainly the most excited I've ever seen you get about waking."
I wouldn't mind waking so much if you didn't insist on dragging us out of bed at shocking and ungodly hours of the morning every other day.
Ah, come on, David. You admitted you like seeing the sunrise.
And I don't complain when you keep us in bed half the night on your mornings. And I do believe tomorrow is your turn again for that.
Yes, I'm painfully aware I did not sleep in today, thank you.
So make sure you have a book ready for a nice long read tomorrow morning.
They used their legs to push back to stand up together.
Want to take the fast way home? Patrick asked with a smile in his voice.
You know how I hate showing up anywhere with disheveled hair and dirty hands, Patrick.
I do, but it's less effort, and it's so much faster that you'll have more time to get cleaned up.
Yes, yes, I've heard your cost-benefit analysis of this 100 times. Fine, we can go your way.
Patrick counted to 3, and then together they reached down with their hands and kicked their feet up and over into the air, beginning to a spinning cartwheel that gained momentum and carried them heel over head over heels across the meadow and down into the village. That night, after the meat was roasted, the gods placated and the fire was burning low in the village square, Patrick sat contentedly on a log and put his feet up. Once again, Patrick had insisted on eating more than Patrick would have liked. He could feel their collective stomachs dealing with the extra workload. Despite that, it had been a good day, and he was happy to just stare into the flames, catching snippets of the conversations buzzing around them. Behind him, David was chatting with Stevie, and he saw Mutt and Jake bringing over more wood to keep the fire going. He heard Alexis's laugh ringing out from the other side of the fire, accompanied by Ted's chuckle. Johnny and Moira were talking to Jocelyn and Roland, and they slowly made their way over, turning sideways so all their heads could turn to face Patrick and David.
"Not too shabby, fellas," Roland said, picking his teeth and pointing a finger gun at David. "Just the right amount of char tonight."
Jocelyn added, "And such a moving prayer, Patrick. Did you write that ahead of time or just improvise?"
"Oh, I usually have a general idea of what I'm going to..."
"Of course he's not improvising, Jocelyn. Have you met him?"
David interrupted.
"Anything he says in public, I've heard rehearsed at least thrice beforehand."
"Because you always have such an invaluable, constructive feedback, David," Patrick said, reaching back to pat David's hip.
"Yes, and you're welcome for my invaluable insights." Patrick could hear the smile in David's voice. Johnny smiled too.
"You two make a great team, don't they, Moira?"
Yes, quite. I always say they are the very embodiment of two heads being better than one."
Jocelyn and Roland both giggled at that, rocking back and forth.
"Two heads? Oh, Moira, you kill me," Roland wheezed. "But speaking of two heads, you all ever notice how we're the only creatures around with more than one?"
Yeah, I think we've noticed our own heads, Roland," David scoffed. But if two heads are better than one, and we're the only ones with two, then doesn't that mean we're better? Roland asked, cocking his eyebrow. Well, if you'd want to consider quality as well as quantity in that assessment, Patrick mused, prompting a snort from Stevie, who had been listening from the outside of their circle. Okay, sure, wise guy, Roland shot back. But where are you going to find a higher quality head in these parts? He gestured to the circle, and very excellent heads around him, which were now nodding in agreement.
Oh, you know, I can't help but notice a certain Parthenon populated by deities possessed of a distinctly unitary Capitolalum,
Moira put in conspiratorially.
How inferior must they feel, constantly bedeviled by the sight of our own double-barreled Sarabula.
Now, Moira, Johnny began, at the same time Jocelyn said,
Oh, they don't mind that. They love us no matter how many heads we have. They made us this way, didn't they?
Roland was nodding and agreed. Yes, they did, and that's just it. They've been known to make mistakes, and maybe their latest mistake was making a creation that's too smart to be controlled and manipulated like a head of livestock, Patrick was feeling uncomfortable with the direction of this conversation, and he knew David could sense it as he reached back to link arms with Patrick. He was ready to go home, and he could probably convince David to head that way soon. But Stevie spoke up unexpectedly from the shadows.
Mistakes is an understatement. I'd say it's more like cruelty and maleficence. Floods, famines, plagues. Moths?
David added.
Yes, she rolled her eyes. But you can't tell me that if a bunch of us were sitting up there, we wouldn't be running things a hell of a lot better than this. Not that I want the job. I just want some accountability, you know? We should at least get a say in who's making the decisions.
She looked over at Roland.
Who knows? Maybe two heads really are better than one.
Well, I say we deserve a chance to try at least, Roland agreed. David rubbed his fingers over Patrick's knuckles.
I know you're worried about angering the gods. But what kind of life is it if we're always living in fear, never able to find out how much we're truly capable of? What we could be if we weren't constantly worried about our overlords feeling threatened by us?
Stevie added,
They rely on that fear, because what else do they really have? Take away the tools of power they threaten us with, the hammer, the lightning bolts, the triton, and they're not so different from other creatures on the earth. And maybe if they weren't so preoccupied with maintaining control, keeping us subservient, they could fix some of these problems we're struggling with down here.
Well, yeah, you have a point. Patrick allowed,
but I feel like the life we have, I don't feel limited. Not really.
Oh, Patrick, David squeezed his hand. I like our life, too. You're everything I could have ever wanted in another half. Patrick smiled and let his head fall back and to the right. As David's head slid back to his left until they were ear to ear, gazing up at the stars. It was a clear night, and the black tapestry of the sky was crowded with heroes and beasts battling across the heavens. As they watched, heavy clouds rolled in, and a deep, long rumble emanated from the largest thunderhead. The enormous, terrifying hammer of Thor emerged from the clouds and struck a violent blow to the meadow outside the village, shaking the earth and leaving a massive hole where David and Patrick had been laying earlier that day. Thor raised his hand again, moving the hammer directly over the village. "What the fuck? Patrick, move! He's going to crush us all!" David's voice was lost among the screams of everyone as they scrambled for cover, knowing it was useless. But as the hammer began to lower, a booming voice said, "Wait." The hammer paused, and a crack of lightning split the sky. "It's Zeus!" came the cries from the villagers. "Have mercy!"
"You will live," came the voice again. "But you will never again seek to displace the gods."
Another ragged bolt of lightning shot down like a knife blade glinting in the sun, splitting a giant oak tree right down the middle. Before they could consider Zeus's words or give thanks for sparing them, Patrick saw the next bolt fly directly towards them. He had no time even to cry out before he felt a burning pain tear through him. Zeus had lied. This had to be death. No one could possibly survive this agony. His heart and soul were being ripped apart. Even if he did survive this, he would never be whole again, he knew. Patrick lifted his head from the dirt and tried to wipe the blood from his eyes, but he could still barely see through the tears and mud. Someone was laying next to him, a similarly bloody mess, but they looked like only half of a person somehow. Patrick felt ice run through his veins. A familiar weight of David was missing from his back. There was only cold, empty air. The pulse of shared emotion was gone. The place at their hip that he loved to run his hands over was now his alone, now marked by scar tissue and phantom memories. The person next to him blinked his eyes and groaned. Patrick had never seen the man's face before, but the sound of his voice sounded like, "David?" The man opened his eyes, and now Patrick was sure. He had never seen David's eyes, but the pain he saw in this stranger's brow depths was the same as the pain in his own fractured heart. He would recognize it anywhere. "Patrick?" David choked out. Patrick reached for him. "Hey, we're gonna be okay. We're still together. We survived." David sobbed.
I feel so empty. I miss you, even though you're right here.
Patrick tried to smile reassuringly. He reached out to rub David's hip.
I'm not going anywhere. You're still my other half, and even the gods can't change that. We're a part of each other no matter what.
He gently wiped a blood-stained tear from David's cheek.
At least now I get to see how beautiful you are.
David rolled his eyes and sniffled.
It's nice to see your face too, Patrick, he breathed.
They shifted closer, obeying an irresistible urge to fit their bodies back together any way they could. Touching seemed to provide at least a taste of the grounded, secure feeling they were suddenly missing. Patrick leaned in and pressed his forehead to David's, feeling their eyelashes brush and their breath on each other's lips.
This feels good, David whispered.
Patrick needed more. He felt his lips nudge David's, and the unbearable softness of the touch awakened a sharp, almost painful longing in his chest. His fingers tightened on David's hip, and his mouth moved hungrily as David moaned into his mouth. Patrick had never felt anything as intensely as the need to get closer to David. The ache of needing it consumed him, and the gratification of touching him bloomed like fire through his whole body. The bliss laced with the incessant desire for more. Patrick realized they both had tears streaming down their faces, gasping laughter and sobs together, and then he noticed it was more than just tears. It was pouring rain. Drops pelting the tender, scarred skin of his back and running into his eyes. He had been so lost in David, he hadn't noticed the storm that intensified around them. Lightning and thunder continued to crash, and the wind had picked up, blowing leaves and debris and little whirlwinds around them.
Maybe we should try to get inside, Patrick said, trying to get to his feet but finding himself unable to balance on only two legs.
Come on, we can crawl. They started heading towards the closest house, looking around for others but not seeing much through the driving rain.
Patrick, look.
Patrick turned to where David was pointing and felt sick. A wall of water was surging up over the village from the direction of the sea. Poseidon, riding its crest astride, a tentacled sea monster. As the tidal wave rushed towards them, Patrick clutched David's hand and uttered the only prayer that matter to him now.
I'll find you, David. No matter what, I will always find you.
Patrick was up early. He'd had the dream again. The one that meant he wouldn't be getting back to sleep anytime soon. He pulled on his hiking boots and headed out the door, telling himself to feel grateful for the chance to catch the sunrise over from the overlook. The dream always set him on edge, though, dredging up emotions he needed to avoid just to get through the day. Hiking, pushing his physical limits, usually helped, and he knew he had a busy day of work ahead of him.
The dreams, images were vague, but there was a feeling of completeness that was so sharp and clear that the memory of it echoed in him for the rest of the day. It only made the loneliness of his current life all the more excruciating in contrast. In his dreams, he wasn't lonely, but more than that, had no concept of the word. There was someone there, a partner, who made him feel perfectly safe and whole. Lately, the dream made him think about Rachel, which led to a spiral of self-flagellation. He'd always felt that longing, searching for someone who made him feel like he did in his dream. He'd thought for so long it might be Rachel. They seemed to fit together like two halves. And Patrick had craved that feeling, that he could be that for her. Inevitably, though, he would find himself in bed with her, waking from the dream and realizing that he was as lonely as ever, and probably would be forever. He finally admitted to himself that he was either going to find this person or be alone. But he had to do it somewhere else. He made it home in time to shower and eat a bowl of cereal before starting in on the day's paperwork. The dream haunted him like a phantom limb, but he managed to joke and laugh with Ray as they took a tea break between photo shoots. As Patrick lingered in the kitchen over his last sip, he heard Ray call him from the office. Patrick hurried through the door and came face to face with a stranger he'd never seen. A beautiful stranger. As they shook hands, their eyes met, and Patrick felt his heart stumble. Felt something like recognition. There was something in those eyes that sent a lightning bolt down through his core. "Patrick," he said, feeling a genuine smile spread across his face for the first time all day. "David," the stranger replied. Reader's notes: this was recorded for Voice Team 2025. Thanks to How Old Are We for having blanket permission to Podfic.